Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind, sharing lessons from the creatives of yesteryear for the population of today.
Anton Cardinal Vasek is still in the prison. Roland Hand is desperately trying to escape. Dan Briggs goes into a clown costume, and Barney Collier plays the organ. All top ingredients for another edition of Resonance Rewind.
Good evening, Mr. Briggs. This is Anton Cardinal Vasek, who is being held for interrogation on the top floor of this building, Sorovno Prison, which is located immediately adjacent to the city main park. Sorovno Prison is considered the most impregnable in Eastern Europe. No escape has ever been made from it. Mr. Briggs, your mission, should you decide to accept it, would be to rescue Cardinal Vasek.
Time rehearsing your trapeze act.
Why? I've done it 8 a week for 2 years.
Not without a net.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Please forgive me. I'm terribly sorry.
That's quite all right.
Excuse me.
Think of getting out of the country.
We'll see tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
I'm sorry, but I can't take you out now. The guard watches, the bed checks,
exactly how long it would take to get up here had to be timed. Timed to the split second.
Timed it what?
Hear that? That calliope? That music is my watch.
I came to tell you we are contacting a lawyer this afternoon.
Thank you. See if you can post bond and get me out of here.
How is the food?
Terrible. But I don't seem very hungry. I also have a bit of
trouble sleeping.
Signorina, lawyer, choice, beaten, not hungry.
Vasek is weak but willing.
He has patrols timed and no trouble with the locks.
What time will he be ready for me?
7:30.
Post bond.
This evening.
Captain, I want you to intensify Vasek's interrogation.
Cardinal Vasek is an old man. He's very weak. He might easily die.
That doesn't really matter. I received orders to execute him in 48 hours.
Well, darling, aren't you going to introduce me to your friend?
No, he's not your type, Angel.
Oh? You mean he likes washed-out blondes?
Go take a bath, gypsy. Come, Come with me. Show me how strong you are, yeah?
Hang on to your billfold, neighbor.
Go away and stay away. Come on.
So last week, that's where we finished. Basically, the Archbishop or the Cardinal had effectively vanished. What was going to happen? Well, needless to say, if Mission Impossible, the series, could actually go for a two-parter, we can have a two-parter with Resonance Rewind as well. And with quotes such as, "This is man's work," or "woman's work," or "Europe work," who knows where we're going to go. But Victoria Simmons, did you come back for the second part of Old Man Out? And spoiler alert, he did in the end get out.
I think we all knew that was going to happen, but I did watch it. Yeah. I actually was disappointed. It wasn't until 15 minutes into the actual program that I had that you actually got any new information. It was just recapping the first episode. Maybe I got a wrong version, but
now I think there was a fairly long trailer. I mean, we've had, I think, about 7 minutes or so, and then if you include titles, clearly that would have been taken out of the European release that they actually had for the motion picture. It would have sat probably around about 90 minutes or so in total. But yes, it was. It did seem as though, for a moment, I think when you first tune into it, you think, surely I've already seen this, haven't I? Have they actually started repeating episode one by mistake? And then, of course, credits finally roll, or not the credits, but at least the title sequence part two emerges. And you realize that, yes, this is where new information is commencing and it's going from there. I don't recall seeing this first time around. I think I might have done. I think it was probably screened on ITV. I think it might well have been on a sort of Friday evening, possibly. But I know the BBC took over the screening of Mission Impossible in the 1970s and screened it fairly regularly, often actually when they weren't screening Star Trek. I still think this has actually got a lot to offer. I'm not sure, again, in terms of the Marianne Mobley and Barbara Baines role and the extended catfight, which also seemed to go on extensively, whether that was the best way of distracting the single guard that was there. But maybe they were just overconfident. They thought, well, nobody's ever escaped from Saravno Vision or Saravno Prison, so we don't need to actually have a guard to anything more than just a single guard or a few other folk to actually work through. Again, some nice line. I mean, obviously, the Bechdel test would have been failed miserably in terms of this, because you do have two women talking, but they do actually mention the fact that they're talking about a man. So that's clearly the case, with, of course, the dialogue, Crystal, do you mind if I worry about him? To which Cinnamon said, I said I was sorry. You said you worry about Roland, right? And then basically the classic line, I worry about earthquakes. Do you worry about earthquakes, Victoria?
Sometimes, yes, because in France we get we're quite near a fault line, and we get several a year. And the last one we had actually sounded as though almost like the windows were going to come in. It was really quite a bad one. So
you do sometimes worry about earthquakes. Well, I mean, yeah. There we are. You know, clearly, again, the other dialogue between Crystal Walker, Marianne Mobley, with all the men being occupied, Cinnamon and Crystal loading all the heavy equipment onto the truck. Isn't this man's work? To which response, not in Europe. Which I suppose actually says something in the 1960s in terms of the way that gender roles were being defined from the United States and obviously in Europe, where clearly in Europe...
We have girl power.
Exactly. And they were expected to actually deconstruct the whole circus and pack it up again and load up all the containers, basically be the circus roadies, which you could say was either good or stereotypical, depending on your viewpoint on that. Roland, of course, as a character played by Martin Landau, he is in and then he's out again, and then he has to get in to get out again in many ways. And I must admit, I did have a kind of flashback to the infamous case of Boris Johnson and his caught halfway on the zip wire, when clearly another challenge. It must be something about zip wires, because obviously if you don't have a cardinal on your back and slide down from that point of view, if you try to do it as an individual, as Dan Briggs did, clearly you actually get stuck halfway.
Yes. Yeah, I wasn't sure how that was working as a situation, but it got there in the end.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I thought in terms of the camera angle, it looked as though he was not that far off the ground. It did look as though when he's stuck, maybe it was just a camera angle that they chose to use, but it didn't have that sense of jeopardy that clearly they would have enhanced with the Mission Impossible movie series.
I literally just sat there and went, well, jump, man. It's not that far.
Yeah, which I think was unfortunate with respect to that. However, I think I'll jump into, quite literally taking your advice there, Victoria, I'll jump into a favourite scene. And I was very impressed. Well, I say very impressed. I thought a scene that kind of still gives you a certain amount of chills was the absolution scene with the cardinal and the prison officer, where there's clearly a kind of sense that, you know, he wants the cardinal to say anything, basically. And yet, as I say, this is the captain, played by William Wintersoul. And yet, ultimately, he's actually seeking his own redemption. He's actually asking for absolution, forgiveness for what effectively he's kind of being presented as being, and so on. And I thought that was a nice touch, that, you know, ultimately, and we live in a world, tragically, where forgiveness is probably needed more than ever before. In many countries, many places, many relationships, and so on. And that, I think, was an important aspect to take out of this, even though obviously this was at the height of the Cold War, where, you know, the whole notion of being behind the Iron Curtain in a country that, you know, could clearly, you know, be controlled by the Soviet Union was obviously something which many people were worried about.
Yeah, it's very poignant.
From your own perspective, were there any particular scenes which you thought worked very well? I mean, obviously, again, I say obviously, but I felt that the last sequence, which was obviously Barney. In fact, there were two clowns, really, in this particular one, because Dan Briggs got into the clown outfit, in which he actually managed to inveigle, I think, possibly a very naive Colonel Scutari, played by Joseph Ruskin, following him into the trailer at the back, which I must have thought, you know, couldn't quite sort of see where just simply being beckoned on and being engaged on that point of view. It did seem to be somewhat odd that he would simply sort of follow that and then obviously be punched and presumably, we assume, knocked out, although there was a sense that he was going to be taken out, in which case, effectively, he'd be executed and so on. We never saw him again after that, basically. Maybe he ran off and joined the circus.
Yeah, I think quite a few anomalies in this second episode. And with you, I liked the redemption scene, but there were so many more that I looked at and thought, well, no. with the trapeze, and you've got the picture up now, I almost found some of that slightly implausible. Maybe it was just because the actress couldn't do so much on the trapeze, even though she's quite good. But there seemed to be a lot of simple, it seemed a very simple thing. And then I know she was supposed to take her time over everything, but you sort of go, well, at least instead of dangle, could you make some sort of effort or movement to keep the crowd's attention? But yeah,
it did seem to go on. I mean, I think obviously from the narrative, this was the Mission Impossible team making it up as they go along. But yes, seeing the duration in which she's hanging, albeit in jeopardy, because clearly part of the attention for both the guard task and the audience were the sharp intake of breath. Was she going to fall? There was no safety net. We knew that there was no safety net for Crystal Walker. If she'd fallen, that would have been it. There would have been huge injury, possibly death. So there was that tension that was actually there. But
how did she get it back up again? Because when you see her when she's up, it's back to its normal form after having been released. So how did it get back up and be put in the normal position? Surely she could have done something dancey, like a in-air pole dance. I don't know.
An in-air pole dance. Well, it could have happened. I think, I mean, that's probably been called out by IMDb as a goof, and I think possibly quite rightly so. My slight excusing aspect of that was I felt that maybe the ropes and the connections that Barney Collier were working had something to do with maybe resetting it that we didn't quite see, because I think he kind of pulled the actual rope that effectively led the trapeze to collapse, or at least it seemed as though he did, and maybe he kind of managed to reset it through some law of physics or mechanics that we weren't privy to.
Yes, you can try and word it however you want. It still was weird. There's no excuse.
Likewise, another criticism I think has been the escape at the end, whereby the simple or relatively simple and straightforward task of playing the organ at a loud volume was enough to effectively block out any kind of notion of hearing who it was that was actually going through the main gates. And I thought that stretched credibility a little bit in
and
terms
the fact
of the
they
sequence.
Didn't look under any blankets.
They came close.
You're going through the through and the checkpoint, and surely they're at that point they're very strict.
Maybe they were embarrassed.
I don't see
because
how they got that.
Having looked behind the trailer, looked into the trailer, and seen two ladies in a state of undress, two women in a state of undress, maybe they thought, oh, clearly it must be a legit organization here. It is a circus. We don't have to worry. And of course, the hand had been moved under the blanket. There was that sense that the hand was outside of the blanket, but it had actually been tucked back into the blanket. Maybe it was a miracle. Let's not, again, knock the notion, and I'm sure this might have been stated at the same time, that maybe it was simply a case of faith that actually, just as, back in the days of the Bible, St. Paul was able to walk free from prison and et cetera. Maybe this was a case of, you know, at this particular stage, that normal security check just didn't happen. And so obviously they went and got the cardinal out.
True. Okay, I'll give you that one.
Let's talk music, because once again the calliope is in full force here. The organ playing is around, plus of course Lalo Schifrin's indefatigable Mission Impossible theme, which again is something which, no pun intended, clearly resonates. How did you feel the narrative was aided and abetted by that? Did you feel it was intrusive? Did you feel it helped? Did it kind of take away from the extreme trapeze scene?
Well, I'm pretty sure if you watch them both that the levels of the music are the same. But because it wasn't as enticing in the storyline, it felt like the music was going overboard. So I don't know. It might be one that's gone too high or just one that's gone too low.
I think it's often a common criticism of two-parter episodes, particularly in the era of 60s and 70s television, where there weren't that many two-parters because, again, most of them were based on a one-and-done format because they could then be used in syndication in all sorts of ways. They didn't have to be seen in any form of order. So that linear form was kind of avoided. But, yeah, oftentimes the second parter sometimes didn't live up to the first part of the only two parts that we've done so far. Actually, no, we have done two. We did the Star Trek episode, The Menagerie, which I think we looked at, and also the Hawaii 5-0 episode, The 92nd War. And both of those seem to hold it. This one I don't think does, actually, because of the reasons you've said. I think, actually, it's a nice end piece to the whole piece, but clearly they needed to fill what was then 50 minutes of time because they were only allowed 10 minutes or thereabouts of commercials, or 9 or 10 minutes of commercials. So padding, I think, is the word that was used. They were padding that to ensure that the episode was expanded a little bit more than perhaps we thought. What about the guard Toss? Did you feel that he was naive in terms of getting all those scratches on his face and the aspects trying to break up the fight between Crystal and obviously Cinnamon's character?
Well, surely that comes under attacking a police officer. So I would have asked myself, well, why aren't they being reprimanded for attacking a police officer?
And the reaction of both Cinnamon and Crystal afterwards, once again, I could understand the relief, but it seemed almost hysterical laughter that they were engaged in when they were tucked away, which for me, I just thought, well, I mean, I appreciate that they were obviously putting on an act for the whole fight. And it was a very serious, very intense fight that we actually saw, a very angry fight, which obviously suggested that to the guard, at least, these were people. I mean, he thought, male ego coming to the fore here, that they were fighting over him. And that was why he was amused by it. And he was obviously thinking that was very good and learned from that. But as I say, that sequence, which seemed to go on for about 20, 30 seconds or screen time. I didn't actually measure it, but it did seem as though it was very much a case of, well, that was an unusual response. I just didn't feel that quite rang true. You know, they might have actually had a sort of a wry smile, a giggle, etc. But it just, I mean, they were almost in his, it was almost as though they were having a huge issue that was there. I don't know. How did you feel?
No, I didn't mind the hysterics. Yeah, I'd probably find it funny if I'd done it with a girlfriend and just had that sort of fight and pretend. Not only laughing about what we'd done, but laughing about his reaction and how stupid he was. but maybe it was part of going on a bit too long just because it's all included in the padding.
Favourite scene? Favorite time, favorite moment for yourself?
Now, I really do have to go back to the redemption scene. That has to be my favorite one because you suddenly feel something different than you've been feeling throughout the whole two episodes, which is sort of like the not so much thriller, but the action and the who's going to go where and anticipation. And then suddenly you're caught off and it changes to, you know what, they do think about it and they're not sure that it is right what they're doing. And then I think, okay, they do think some they do have another angle that they're looking at.
Last week, I think the clear winner for Barbara Bain, or Barbara Bain was a clear winner with her character of Cinnamon Carter. Even the contribution we'd had from Pamela Sue Mann confirmed it was Cinnamon Carter for herself. Who are you going to go for part two in terms of your favourite character? I mean, we'll just run through some of the sort of characters you have. Obviously, the Commandant, Oscar Borregi Jr. You have Tosk, of course, the prison guard, the captain, William Wintersoul, in addition, of course, to some of them which you mentioned last week, and of course, Cardinal Vosek, played by Cyril Delavante.
Yes, I can't remember who it is. The guy that dresses up as the clown and entices the prison officer and punches him.
That would be Stephen Hill, played by playing Daniel Briggs. Dan Briggs, of course.
Daniel Briggs.
The leader of the first season, as we said, of the Impossible Missions Force.
Yeah, he seemed to actually take on his role this time. In the last episode, he seemed to take quite a back seat. He'd sort of given them told them what they were doing, and then Crystal kind of took over and helped and did all of that. But he seemed to really step up and come to the forefront and say, right, all these things are going wrong. It's my job to do as the almost captain of the team. That's very sporty, isn't it? to step up and make sure everything runs smoothly. So I thought I liked him.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. There was a sense of command and also leading from the front and leading by example, which tended to sort of work. And again, it would be interesting to see how the character of Dan Briggs would have developed had he actually gone on for further seasons. Obviously, Jim Phelps is the folk that the person we most recognise. Again, you probably will not have seen this because that's before your time. But then again, that's what Residents Rewind is all about. in terms of the mark, then, because we've reached that stage where we do need to provide a mark for this, we may be joined by Jessica Burtis, or she may come in with a slight postscript, a kind of second part where we'll have a long discussion between ourselves and then just a short piece of Jessica, and then people will say, well, what's happening on that one? What are you going to do? What are you going to go for in terms of a score for? Let's do two scores, basically. First of all, a score for the episode itself, and then a score for both episodes combined.
Yeah, I think I gave the first episode an 8, did I? Something like that. Second episode, 5.
So would that give you an average of 6.5?
It gives me sort of like 6.5 for the overall.
Yeah. I'm going to go for a 7 to 7.5 for the second episode. For all the reasons we've said, it didn't quite take off, so to speak. But at least they got over the border. And at least our old man, Cardinal Vosek, did actually manage to get out. Who knows what actually happened after that, but the mission was accomplished.
I felt like he was going to have a heart attack. At some point, I thought, oh my gosh, going down that rope, a frail old man, he's going to have a heart attack doing this. How are you going to get him out?
Which would have been very embarrassing, of course, had that actually occurred during the actual mission, that they did successfully manage to get the Cardinal out, but unfortunately he was died. It's the equivalent to the operation was a success, but the patient fails to actually be resuscitated. Yeah. Enough of such stuff. Next week, a much shorter episode is being looked at. It's, again, one of two examples we'll be exploring. It features keeping the clergy theme going. A member of the clergy, Father Stanley Unwin, working for Bishop, British Intelligence, Secret Headquarters Operation Priest, a miniaturizer, a quite fascinating character who plays a gardener who has a West Country accent and actually goes in his West Country accent in his own way. Lou Grade effectively cancelled the series after seeing the first trailer. So it was a short-lived run in Gerry Anderson's oeuvre, but it was arguably the last, in fact, it was de facto the last Gerry Anderson Super Marination series of the 1960s. We will be exploring with the Bishop, with Matthew, with the miniaturizer, and more, and Eastern foreign seas, foreign overseas shenanigans, the Secret Service. That's to come on Resonance Rewind. For now, to Victoria Simmons, huge thanks. Victoria, do you think we should feature October Girl in terms of a little pricey of this particular aspect? Should we actually work for that now?
Yes, I think that would be a wonderful idea. And then people, if they like it, can pre-save it and it will be out on Wednesday.
Exactly. So there we are. So for the podcast listener, there's a special coming up with respect to Victoria. And I think actually, to be fair, the whole event probably took place in the autumn. I mean, I sense it was the circus in the autumn there. So all ties together. So Victoria,
the decisions that you have to make.
Yeah. And October Girl coming up. But inevitably, we say those two words, three words, actually, keep on resonating.
Time passes.
Anton, it's a long way down, so keep your eyes closed and hang on real tight. All right?
What's this all about?
I was talking to this one. As that one jumped her.
You're bleeding.
You noticed.
You live?
Yes. But how am I going to explain? Post 7, Private Tosk.
Why haven't you reported in?
I was busy, sir. A couple of crazy women got into a fight. But everything's under control now.
Did you see a colonel?
Colonel? No, sir. I saw no officer. Yes, sir. I'm sure.
Thank you.
also the man who was put in the cell next to him.
How?
I don't know, sir. The guard in S block was knocked out.
That Colonel Scutari.
I never found him.
Well, search. They must still be inside the prison. They must. No one has ever broken out.
No, sir.
What's going on here?
This clown wants to shoot an apple off my head.
Pass William Tell and his friends through.
This is Colonel Cavery, Commandant at...
What's that?
What's that music? Stop those circus people! Do you hear me? Stop them!
What's that?
I said stop those circus people! Stop them!
Get out and stop them! Stop them!
Promised, we need to find out what Jessica Burt has made of part two of Old Man Out. Jessica, I'm not sure if you've had a chance to listen to the views of Victoria or whether it's a good case of I haven't even had an internet. How can I actually download files on that basis for the whole thing? But would you like to expand on your own thoughts in terms of did this work or was it a case of it took a long time to get into it, but finally there were some highlights?
So I like the first episode quite a lot with
circus setting. I thought that was really fun, and the idea of it being right next to a prison breakout to cover for it. So I enjoy watching even more content of this episode. I'm used to two-parters. I feel like quite a lot of TV shows do two-parters now, and I like the second one just as much. I think that it was more established in the first one. I'd say it was a little bit more exciting just because you were seeing everything, kind of how they were learning how to do the circus and everything with their roles in it. But with this one, we were into it, so we kind of knew what was going on. We knew what we were doing with the Cardinal. But it was still exciting. I think Crystal and Cinnamon's fight was one of the best parts. I thought it was their cover upon a cover, you know, trying to distract someone. So I thought this was still really fun to watch. And the Calliope, I mean, the music just also just makes it excellent.
So what was your favorite scene then? Are you going to go for the staged cat fight between Crystal and Cinnamon? Or is it a case of the shared point for both Victoria and myself, which was the scene of redemption with the Cardinal in the prison, where in essence he forgives his persecutor for the simple act of all of the challenges that obviously the captain is going through?
I thought that was actually so... I think that was really, I don't know. I thought it was interesting. Then it made me want to read about the real life case and the real life figure, because it made me curious if something similar kind of happened with him. I know that's happened with various people in history, and, you know, being very serious about forgiveness and wanting to forgive someone who's hurt, who's turning the other cheek. So I thought that was really excellent. I think that my favorite scene was Crystal, her dangerous stunt on the trapeze to act from what was going on. I think that was really fun. And I think Crystal, I don't know if it was, I'm guessing it wasn't the same actress who was doing the stunts. It's probably a stunt double, but still impressive. It was still cool to watch.
I mean, I think from Victoria's perspective, she found it went on possibly a little bit too long, and perhaps the sense of jeopardy, even without a safety net, wasn't quite necessarily to the fore. I mean, I felt that obviously Barney, who was clearly pulling the strings in more ways than one, having caused the trapeze to collapse and then the pickup, certainly distracting the guard, of course, played by Monty Markham, the character Tosk, they managed to actually do it. But of course, he ended up getting scratched for his trouble.
I love Barney. I think it was nice getting to meet more of the characters in this one, since the last episode was fairly brief for my introduction to the characters. So it was nice getting to spend a bit more time with them. And I feel like you definitely see their characters coming through quite well. I mean, Crystal and Cinnamon are just so standout. Like, they're so fun. I really like Cinnamon. Again, I think I said she was my favorite character in the last episode.
Well, that, of course,
The lag. There's a bit of a lag.
There is. It's possibly, again, our own impossible missions force that we haven't quite developed, although I can say that Resonance Rewind will not self-destruct at the end of this message. At least I hope it won't, but still. In terms of the characters, are you going to be sticking then with Cinnamon Carter, or have you changed? Are you choosing somebody else for part two?
I think for this one, I mean, Cinnamon is still very up there, but I think for this one, it is the Cardinal, because we got to spend a lot more time with him in this episode, and it made me feel more invested in the breakout and why they wanted to really rescue. I mean, he was sweet in the first one, too, in that little bit we had of him, but in this one, it was like, I didn't just want them to rescue him because of the moral standpoint of him being arrested. But also just because he was such a good person, you know, and you felt a lot of empathy for him. So I think it was the Cardinal.
And clearly Rollin Hand had to escape out of the prison to get back into the prison to be recaptured. He probably would have thought he was going in and out in all manner of crazy ways. And there was, of course, the classic zip wire collapse with Dan Briggs, who eventually had to exit as well. But thankfully, they all managed to get across the border, and at least Barney played the organ to great extent as well. That's a favorite character.
Yes, the music was so good. Sorry.
No.
The internet is not as reliable.
The music was so good, you were saying.
Yes, I thought the music was really good in this. I think I don't always pay attention to the music in every show, I think in some it tends to stand out a bit more to me than in others. But in this one, I mean, it has the iconic theme song, and then you have the collide. I really liked the music. It felt like it matched the episode very well.
And your score, Jessica, for either a composite score for both episodes, or let's go for episode two for Old Man Out.
I think my score for the combined of how I feel they work together and this episode is the same. I think I would give it an 8. I think it's a very solid episode.
Excellent. Well, as we mentioned earlier, next week, and I think you might have already had a preview of this if the signals actually worked, because we sent you the link to where you can find the Secret Service. We're still keeping our theme of the clergy and spies going. This time, of course, it's with Father Stanley Unwin and his miniaturizer. And as we've said, a gardener called Matthew. But is he really a gardener? As we actually explore the Secret Service and a case for the bishop. Until then, of course, thanks to Jessica Burtis and to Victoria Simmons. And we'll say it one more time. Keep on resonating.